headset so I can test to make sure the translation is working. I just talked to the interpreter and they said it was. So English is on 4 and Ukrainian is on, I just saw it, 21. You'll give your report in Russian. Okay, good. That's a question for you. Can you swap over to 21 and tell me if you're getting anything? 4, they won't be saying anything on 4 because I'm speaking English. Where they will be saying stuff on should be channel 21 and channel 19. So are you are currently working? Okay, well, I hesitate to start until we have the translation going. So, nothing on 21.
Раз, два, раз, два. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. Channel 21. Channel 21. Channel 21. Раз, два, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3.
Listening now, is anyone listening on 23 or 24? On 23. I'm going to speak English here, and Alexander is going to speak Ukrainian, and Ludmila is going to speak Russian. Russian is not going yet. Okay, so we now have everybody on. Somebody's listening to Ukrainian on 23, correct? There is no Ukrainian on 23. Is there Russian on 24? Sorry, now I'm making you. 23 is going? 24 is going. Okay. Well then, ladies and gentlemen, there's some, if you don't have a headset that is working, there are a few back here in the back. We are very short on time. I am told that we still have to end at 3 o'clock. So I am going to do very brief introductions so that we can get right to our speakers. This is the breakout session with representatives from Ukraine. If this is not where you want to be, find your other breakout, but we hope that you're here. We have some great guest speakers today, which I will introduce very briefly. After they speak, if we have time, we will do questions and answers. If we do questions and answers, I would ask that you signal that you want to ask a question. We will bring you a microphone to facilitate translation. And then if you will tell us who you are and where you're from, then that will help with the translation. So let me start by introducing our guests. I will introduce them in the order in which they will speak. Our first speaker will be Alexander Zurovchuk, which I think I pronounced pretty close. He is currently the Deputy Minister of Culture of Ukraine in the Ministry of the Culture of Ukraine. He's Deputy Minister of Culture. Before that, he was a senior lecturer at the University of Kiev. I Googled him, obviously, to find out some of the things he had been doing and found out that he had recently visited Hungary. He has done some speeches honoring Turkmen literature and poets. He seems to have a very interesting background, and I'm looking forward very much to hearing what he Center for Religious Information and Freedom at the Institute of Philosophy at the National Academy of Sciences of Ukraine. If you get a chance to read her bio, she is involved in a number of very important issues dealing with religion and culture, and we're very grateful to have her as well. So quickly, I would like to turn the time over to you, Alexander, and let you speak.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Do you hear interpretation? As far as I understand, the interpretation is going on, right? Mm-hmm. Thank you. Once again, good afternoon. I would like to say the following. I am not a scientist in religion studies. I am a cultural specialist. I am artist. And for the past 4 years, I was in public sector and worked in civic societies. And after the Dignity Revolution, I was one of the very active participants of the revolution. And now I work at the Ministry of Culture as a deputy minister. And one of the issues that I cover is the religious issues and religious minority issues and linguistic issues. So I will talk more as a politician today. So according to the structure, first I will talk about a legal framework, that is the relations that we have in our country. And the latest survey that we conducted, you can see how freedom of religion is, the status of freedom of religion in Ukraine. We have a political conflict and what's happening within that framework in Ukraine. And in the end, I will talk about the paradigm of changing in mentality in the Ukrainian and consciousness in the Ukrainian society. So the international experience shows that there is need for mandatory adherence to basic human rights and freedom in the realm of freedom of conscience and religion, which involves interpretation of freedom on conscience and internal human rights. This is the Article of 35 of the Ukrainian Constitution, and it meets all the requirements, specifically the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, the European Convention on Human Rights and Fundamental Freedoms, the Declaration of the Rights of Persons Belonging to National or Ethnic Religion and Linguistic Minorities, and meets other acts of international law. So the Article 35 of the Ukrainian Constitution and the Ukrainian Law on Freedom of Conscience and Religion Organization guarantee each citizen of Ukraine the right to take or change his or her religion. And they can associate themselves with any church, follow religion, views, and beliefs, including changing those. This is the prerogative of personal choice of each individual. Article 3 guarantees openly express your convictions, religious convictions. This right could be restricted only in the cases when there is a need for those restrictions in a democratic society in order to protect public safety and order, life, health, and rights of people. So the religious organizations are created based on satisfying religious needs of citizens, and they act according to their hierarchy and institutional structure and according to their bylaws or charters. Article 8 of the law stipulates that the state recognizes the right of religious organization to be subordinate to its canon or organizational issue to any active religious centers or authorities in Ukraine or abroad. The law in the area of freedom of conscience declares equality of all denominations in state and legal relations, establishment of many preferences or limitation restrictions for any religion, faith, or religion organization is prohibited. Particular beliefs and cultural practices of our official registered religion organization in Ukraine cannot be considered dominant or mandatory. The relations between the state and religion organizations in Ukraine are guaranteed by, once again, the Constitution also of Ukraine, and laws and regulations. The framework law is the law that I mentioned earlier, that is the Ukrainian law on freedom of conscience and religion organizations, which defines clear parameters of relations between government and religious organizations, the rights and duties of citizens, churches and religious organizations, according to Article 4, are separated from states. That is, the religious organizations cannot function as government organizations, and they are not authorized to carry out state functions. As to the according executive order in 2002 that was passed by the president of Ukraine eliminate the negative impact of totalitarian policy of the former USSR with regard to religious and religious organization. They include the protection of churches and religious organizations, their political rehabilitation, also improvement their tolerance, creating environment for development of principles of freedom of consciousness, and also supporting local governments in returning religious organizations to religious organizations their former religion buildings and structures. So the Cabinet of Ministers of Ukraine in 2002 passed a regulation to transfer back the religious buildings and structures to religious organizations. That is, the religious organizations that were not subject to be used by this organization, they can be transferred after the organizations that are occupying those buildings right now are moved to different buildings. Today, we are working on improving our laws and regulations related to state and denominational relations. In April 2014, religion community of Ukraine came up with the initiative to immediately renew the development of concept of state and denominational relations in Ukraine, which was also supported by the Ministry of Culture that is in charge of religious issues. There is a cooperation between government and the religious organization, and this is very important for Ukraine. We have an all Ukrainian Council of Churches and Church Councils that was established in 1996. This all Ukrainian Council of Churches and Religious Organization is actually founded in 1996. Is the interdenominational advisory body. Its goal is to combine the efforts of religious organizations with national and spiritual renaissance of Ukraine, support the dialogue between confessions and denominations in Ukraine and abroad, participate in the development of regulation drafts on state and denominational relations, and engage in comprehensive charitable activities. This council works operates based on equality and equal rights, respect to internal directives and traditions of all religious organizations in Ukraine, and they are independent from government, political, and civic organizations. The council comprises of 19 churches and religious organizations, which is about 90% of religious network of Ukraine. Its activities have significant impact on finding solutions for numerous pressing issues of current Ukrainian society. Taking into consideration the current policy in Ukraine, we have issues on military service. Article 35 says of the Constitution says that nobody can be relieved of his or her duty before for the government, the state, or deny those duty based on religion. If the military service is against the religious belief of the individual or the citizen, then that has to be replaced by an alternative non-military service. And this is regulated by a special law on alternative non-military service, and the principles of enforcement of this law are stipulated by numerous regulations. At the same time, our government supports active initiatives of religious initiatives on the dialogue between churches and army, where issues of freedom of consciences for military personnel and troops, tolerance and mutual respect, as well as patriotism. This initiative of the religious is very important today. So this religious initiative has wide support among both military and public in general. On July 2, 2014, the Ministry of Cabinet of Ministers of Ukraine passed the resolution on chaplain. Military clergy, that is chaplain service in armed forces, National Guard, and State Border Guard. And thus, there is an institute of military clergy, that is chaplains, is instated. That is, they select from clergy who were recommended by religious organization to serve or to render their spiritual services for military personnel, especially for those who serve in the anti-terrorist operations zone in the eastern part of Ukraine. Our government is very active in creating appropriate environment for churches and religious organizations in Ukraine. We also are working hard on improving our image, and we are working internationally and religious organizations, different social, charitable, and humanitarian on social and humanitarian programs. And that's why I am participating in this conference today. Current strategy of cooperation between state and church focuses on intercultural and interreligious dialogue, development tolerance, mutual respect in inter-ethnical and inter-denominational relations. This objective can be achieved by combining state, religious, public, and scientific institutions' efforts, as well as through comprehensive analysis and discussion of pressing issues with all stakeholders and public in general. Ukrainian government demonstrates its readiness to consider recommendations of joint discussions adopted by such meetings, makes practical efforts to address existing problems, to guarantee the rule of law and major freedoms in spiritual sphere, their compliance with the principles of democratic society. This was very briefly about the legal aspect. Now I would like to talk a little bit. To talk a little bit about the latest survey that was conducted by Rozumkov Center, which was conducted on 25th through 29th, July 25th and 29th in 2014. So they compare the results of different years between 2000 until 2014. I will make parallels. They surveyed 2012 respondents from error could be is 2 to 3%. So the first question, the level of religiousness of the Ukrainian society. The next facts give the survey gives us the next facts. The level of religiousness in this Ukrainian society is rather high. At this time, the those who are considered themselves of religious, we see about 60%. Those who are not sure about their religious beliefs is about 8%. Atheists, 7%. It's similar to the year 2013. Indifference, 5%. Not sure, 4%. The level of religious depends upon the region. It is very important for Ukraine, specifically taking into consideration current events. So about 93% of western area of Ukraine are considered believers, themselves believers, in about 60% or less in the east. We ask the following question, regardless of the fact whether you attend church or not, who you believe you are. Are you believer or non-believer? The third question is similar as earlier. 70% of citizens are considered themselves to be Orthodox. About 80% of in center and 67% in the east. In the west, which is also very important, the majority, 36% of citizens consider themselves Byzantine or Greek Catholics. And the rest are just Christians, that they are not associated with any other parish. This is 10%. In the south and east, citizens who are not associated with any religion is about 18-22%. The fourth item, the number of those who are associated with the Ukrainian Orthodox Church of Kiev Patriarchy is higher than those of Moscow Patriarchy. 22% of surveyed individuals, 22% support the Ukrainian Orthodox Church of Kiev Patriarchy and 17 of Moscow Patriarchy. And among those who consider themselves Orthodox are 32. As to one more fact, in 2010, the number of those who were associated themselves with Orthodox Church of the Kievan Patriarchy were lower than those of Moscow Patriarchy, 15% and 24%. That is, we see the trend. There is the increase of those who consider themselves Orthodox of Kiev Patriarchy. The second is the religious church and society. According to survey, the trust or confidence in church, the confidence is the highest among all political and social organizations of Ukraine. Similar to previous surveys, majority of citizens consider the very high confidence in church. About 66% have high confidence in church. 88% of those live in the western part of Ukraine. That is, the number is much higher in the west, 53% in the eastern part of Ukraine. And the largest number of those who do not trust church among citizens of eastern part is 34%. In the western part, only 8% do not trust church. The majority of citizens believe that church affects some aspects of their lives. 79% of citizens consider the role of religion, that religion improves the morale and spirituality of individuals. 69% believe that this is one of the major factor in renaissance of consciousness and culture. 63% consider it as one of the factors of the democratic society. Religious tolerances. The Ukrainian society continues to be tolerant to all religions. And what is very interesting, two dominant opinions. The majority of the citizens believe that any religion that states the ideas or ideals of kindness, love, and do not hinder the existence of other individuals has the right to exist. Another thesis, all religions have the right to exist as different ways to God. In 2013, this statement was agreed by 74% of surveys of respondents. 31% of responders believe that church and religion have to be orientated orientated on national values. 63% in the West believe that. Only 20% and only 22% in the East and Southern part support this. The role of church. The majority of citizens believe that in the current Ukrainian society, the church plays a positive role. 53% of respondents believe that. In 2013, there were only 51% of those. But these numbers depend upon the area. 75% of the western part of Ukraine believe that. In the other areas, the number of responders were much less. 49 in the center, 46 in south, and 43 in the eastern part of Ukraine. As to their faith, the positive role of the church are considered by the Catholics who believe that 86% of Catholics believe that church plays a very significant role in their lives. Church and state, church's attitude to state. And again, we do not see any support to establish one dominant state church in Ukraine. Only 13% of respondents believe that there should be a state church in Ukraine. And now I would like to talk about, one more question. Social and political situation, the environment for church in Ukraine. So what people think, where should be church? Whom should the church support? 74% of responders believe that the church always has to protect people and be on their side. This thesis that church has to protect government because there is no government that would not be from God, only 7% will support this position. The social and political conflict and the threat of integrity of Ukraine that we and sovereignty of Ukraine that we still face in the country. There were two events at the end of 2013, at the beginning of 2014, had changed the situation in Ukraine. The first, the Revolution of Dignity, or Maidan, that is the revolution against the government of that time. And the revolution allowed the changes in the society, establishment of new government, presidential elections. And now we will also have the parliamentary election coming up. The second event, the military aggression of Russia against Ukraine, which was registered on the 14th of March of 2014. They did not recognize the new government, and in 3 weeks they were able to occupy the Autonomous Republic of Crimea and was annexed to the Russian Federation. Starting with March 14th of 2014, Vladimir Putin, the president of Russia, finally admitted that, acknowledged that the Russian militaries were behind the annexation of the Crimean peninsula. And also there is no doubt that there are pro-Russian forces in the eastern part, in Donetsk and Luhansk oblasts of Ukraine. And taking into consideration these realities, we can say that the year 2014 will determine the statehood of Ukraine. That is, the Maidan and the church actually started on the side of citizens. The All-Ukrainian Council of Churches and Religious Organizations did everything in their efforts to establish dialogue between the government, the opposition, and the Maidan. Thus, the church was a very strong institution of the civil society of that time, which was able to protect the interests of the its citizens. As to the military aggression of the Russian Federation, occupation, annexation of Crimea, the church also was on the side of citizens and the protection of integrity and sovereignty of the country. At this time, the church is ready to cooperate with the state and the society in general and ready to assist in the renaissance of the new Ukrainian society. The victory of Maidan established the environment for renewal of the society and also construction of new legal state. For this, we need to eliminate not only external interference and military interference, but also we have to address internal social and political conflicts. As to what's happened on Maidan, from the position of a young person and civil activist, and now I am a political activist too and political leader. So what happened? There were many new things happened during Maidan. That is, the civil society, the civil activists actually joined forces with religious groups, with business groups, and with the creative class of the society. The events that took place there, including prayers, that all denominations participated in those prayers. That was the demonstration of the unity of the Ukrainian people and religious groups that exist in the country and work for the society. We also see that during very important state holidays, the leaders of all denominations get together in the St. Sophia's Cathedral and Kievan Lavra, the other cathedral. They do not have in the St. Sophia, they do not have any specific affiliation with any liturgies or services, but they have different services there where they invite all denominations and all leaders of the government. And these acts, this unity and these activities allowed us to step outside of inter-religious or inter-denominational misunderstandings and find common denomination between civic organization, religious organization, state, and business businesses that allows us to look into the future and find some common ground for the development of new Ukrainian society. I would like to state that these vectors are reflected in the cultural segment. Specifically, it is reflected in a new area such as eco-culture that combines world principles of healthy lifestyle. It includes changes of in the society, establishing the environment for communication, which means internal development, psychology of the relations between people, and this is the attitude towards knowledge, history, truthful history, as you say what history says, because history was rewritten several times, and now we are also discussing in Ukraine who will write the history of Ukraine, because the history of Ukraine was written somewhere else, not in Ukraine. Now we are going to write it in our country and learn our history. And those are the principles that are the basic principles for eco-culture. And I, being a professional musician, I can draw a parallel between art, music, and satisfactions that we see in our country and in our society and that are reflected in our relations. So a very world music is a great reflection of this. That includes poly-religious, poly-views, poly-mentality, pluralism in all aspects. The same goes for social and political aspects. So it is very important to find something that unites us all, not only on the level of one country, but on the level of the whole world. Thank you.
Hello, good day. I'm very grateful to the organizers. This is not my first time in Provo, and I see all the changes for better. Maybe they're not so obvious to you. The changes in Ukraine are more dramatic, definitely. Okay, перевод. Can you hear the translation? Okay, do you hear my translation? Do you hear my translation? Okay, I see the changes that are happening in Provo because it's not my first time here, and I have to tell that. Still, our changes in Ukraine are much more dramatic. My colleague covered them very well, but I am going to talk about perspective of secularism in Europe. And I want to remind that for each country, these perspectives are really different. It depends on type of secularism, which developed in different countries, depend on model of level of development of relationship between religion and state. Also, third, it depends on the level of influence on religion in this society. As we talk about types of secularism in a society, we see it not as a worldview, but as a practical government deals with religion, and particularly with religions organizations. I suggest five types that I see. It's not my discovery. My colleague Viktor Yelensky, who was one of the delegates once, suggested this division, and first type is absolute secularism, and examples Albania, then uneven union of state with religion, which represents majority of state. It was socialist Romania and Bulgaria as an example, and Macedonia. Third is a liberal communist. It's been happening in Czechoslovakia and Hungary and Germany during Soviet times. The fourth is the so-called Polish model, which is a very intense interaction between church and state in specific circumstances. Five is the type which we think is happening in Ukraine. It's a very sharp and antagonistic separation of church from state. This is a model which been taking place in former Soviet Union. And the delegates former Soviet states talked about it. And at different times, Soviet Union practice different regimes from very bloody ones, as 50,000 priests killed, till peaceful kind of doctrine influence, so the priests can preach Soviet patriotism to the people. The government totally controlled the religion. There was oppression against religious dissidents, and there was a lot done against the religious practices. How did it change since 1991? De jure, all post-communist countries declared in theory freedom of religion, of conscience, but reality is different. And in Ukraine, as Belarus and Moldova, were characterized by very sharp separation from church and state, no financial support from the government of religious organization. There were laws about the same rights for all different organizations before the law, but there was not enough development of the law, there was not enough following the law, and very low transformation of the society, which is, of course, has a very negative effect on the transformation to the best. What are the changes in Ukraine in terms of religion society relationship? First, the lack of persecution towards the church. We have great growth in amount of monasteries, churches, and opportunities for religious education. In Ukraine, there are more religious organizations, 26,000, my colleague Oleg said, in Ukraine, 36,000 organizations, so 10,000 more than Ukraine. And if we look at the territory and amount of people living there, we will see that the intensity of the life, religious life in Ukraine is a lot more. We have a lot of interest towards God and sacred things, and we do have some numbers here as well. We're talking about religious inclination. We have that about 6% were saying that they're not interested in that. But we will think that more thorough investigation of statistics, we will have different numbers. We don't have very solid data for Soviet period, because only 10% Soviet statistical sociologists were told that the numbers should not exceed 10%. And no matter what the result I got, it was on the paper, 10%. So I have data about Russia. So in 91, 6% were visiting some churches, and 7% in several years later. In Ukraine, all the numbers were larger all the time. So right now, the percent of people who consider themselves Catholics or Orthodox are more than statistic amount of people who write in the questionnaire that they are participating in some church. So we have a strange fact that people consider themselves part of some group and still do not write it down. It is not surprising, because a lot of people are former Soviet people, and communist was their identity. And after communism era, they lost it, and so they're trying to find their own new identity somewhere else. So their religious affiliation is not as much as relationship with God, of view on life, but becoming part of their identity as a necessary psychological issue. We see that some conflicts in Europe, military contexts, were not originally religious, but they were flavored by religion. It's ex-Yugoslavia, North Caucasus. We is seeing this right now in Ukraine. It is a war between past and future, between Soviet and new Ukrainian pro-European identity. It is a problem for Ukrainian Orthodox Church of Moscow Patriarchate and mobilization of religion and creation of Russian Orthodox Army, so-called. And also we see that there are a lot of religious symbols that are implemented in the military conflict. In the military, we have priests in the military. Many main political conceptions were using religious color, ideas of sacred Russia or Nova Russia, new Russia blessed by God. In mass the right side in on both sides are sacred. The enemies are devils, and there is an idea of some Satan's plan against us righteous. This war already caused many human victims, destruction of sacred buildings, anti-Semitism from Donetsk and Lugansk. I brought some documents which my colleagues prepared, and they're monitoring situation in Ukraine and Crimea, and I asked to give them to you. There are very many actions that are absolutely illegal. In the Constitution of Donetsk National Republic, it's written clearly that the state religion of Donetsk Republic is Russian Orthodox Church. So there is a Russian Orthodox Church is the only legal church. The rest are against the law. So it will affect the picture of religious freedom. It really is ruining the dialogue that between different religions. In Donetsk, there is still they call it pray Maidan, or people of different denominations come and pray for peace. There are many efforts towards peace, but unfortunately, sides do not hear each other and are not willing to cooperate. Ukraine is probably the field of the most powerful Orthodox conflict in the world. It is the result. It reflects all the conflicts that have been existing for a long time as a result of Soviet Union, of Soviet power. So we see that changes in the sphere where religion becomes the power of society, and it is a very difficult conflict. In Ukraine, it is it's even more serious problem than probably anywhere else. And religion became a very powerful problem in after a communist countries, because in other European Western countries already have a more or less stable picture with the relationship of religion and state. It is obvious that religious institution of Ukraine and other countries had to work really hard to start the dialogue with the society, and even using the international experience or any orthodox classical approach did not help. Experience of Ukraine is unique, and that's what Maidan proved. This is a brand new book I brought to tell you, to show you. It's called Maidan and Church, and it talks about the situation of what happened at Maidan, because church religions had to make a very serious decision how they're going to approach their people. Are they going to stand with people whom they preach to, address their problems? Are they going to support their people in the power for freedom? Different religions address the situation differently, but most denominations supported Ukrainians to join European Union and seek freedoms of different kinds. We know that future of Ukraine is in secularism and religion, and we survived very brutal years of ideology of communism, and we revived our religion, and we value our freedom and independence. And I don't think that Ukraine would ever agree to go back. They value their tradition. They value the interaction between religious and secular organizations. We understand it not as just scientists, but I think people understand it too, and even government, as we heard the previous speaker representing government. Thank you very much.